Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Gina Bianca podcast, where we talk about life, business, entrepreneurship, the beauty industry, and beyond. My name is Gina Bianca, life and business coach, salon owner, educator, mastermind mentor, and your host of the Gina Bianca podcast.
Before we get started, I want to let you all know that on August 25th, we're going to be holding a salon owner brunch at the Network Salon. This event is going to be absolutely wonderful for anyone who is interested in opening a salon or who is currently a salon owner. We'll be having a delicious brunch and three speakers: myself, Michelle Wheatley, aka at Beauty Business Guide, and the legendary Nick Arojo. This event will be on a Sunday. It'll be about 5 hours long, and the ticket price is $4.95. Visit www.thenetworksalon.com/classes for more information and to sign up.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gina Bianca podcast. We're here for another episode of Salon Ownership Unfiltered. The only difference is it's 2024. And all of my other episodes were recorded throughout all of 2023. I worked on this project all of 2023 and released it during my maternity leave. So I've since had my baby and things are going great. And everyone has loved this podcast series so much that I've decided to add on, I believe, 8 more interviews with some of my close friends. And one of those friends is Sarah Hinckley. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And Sarah and I went to beauty school together. We were, I believe you were in the class ahead of me. So I've known you my whole entire career.
I know. I've seen it since you were a hustler in beauty school, working those stars.
Yeah, exactly. So I've known Sarah forever and I've been following her closely because she moved and she just had a baby too. So I'm like, she's obviously coming up on my feed all the time. And she's opening another salon in San Clemente, California. And it hit me. I'm like, Sarah, you've owned 3 salons. I have to interview you on this podcast.
I know. I can't believe it when I think about that. I almost don't think it's true. But yeah, I have. It's been a journey for sure.
Yeah. So I would love to talk to you about that, like your whole journey and experience with that. But I want to start off with the question I've been asking pretty much all the salon owners. I've been asking, you know, I know we went to hair school together, but before hair school, did you have any other training, any other business training or anything that would have helped you open a salon, or are you straight from beauty school?
I worked in a salon. I was an assistant for 3 months and then I worked in a salon for about a year and a half. And then there was an opportunity to open my first space. I was apartment shopping and found the space. And I just kind of went for it. It was this old lady, she fell, she broke her hip and she didn't want to do hair anymore. So I was like, you know what, if I go in there and with my like new blood, then you just show up every day and magic will happen. And so that's how it all started. I just said yes to the opportunity and I just jumped in.
That's
but
amazing.
No, I haven't had training. Nope.
I love it. So me neither. It's, I love asking that question because some people have like accounting training. Some people went to business school. Some people are just straight from school, straight from the salon. But I think like it all comes down to is like, we just wing it and figure it out. So like, if you're listening, the reason I ask this question is because if you're listening and you're like, who am I to open a business or I don't know what I'm doing, a lot of us have no idea what we're doing. We just make it work. No.
We just see like what's in front of us and we're like, okay, we're just going to make it work. You show up and people will come. If they see that you're passionate, then you just have your lights on and then just say yes to every opportunity. That's just kind of where it all started for me. And then just like each opportunity led to the next, to the next, to the next. And then pretty soon you're like, oh, wait, I'm outgrowing this space. I want to open another salon. And it just goes from there.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. So talk about your first salon. You found it. You had this like amazing opportunity from this lady. Did you like buy it from her? Did she like hand it over to you? Like, how did that happen?
Well, okay, this salon had carpets and like they used to smoke cigarettes and there was like bookshelves and like magazine shelves. Like just, I think the walls were like high gloss yellow. The carpets were green. It had like dolls in the corner. It was called Country Gal.
Do you have
So,
pictures of this? You need to like post this.
oh my gosh, I know. I wish I did, but I don't think I do. Like I lose a phone and then I lose like every picture on it. So,
And that was back in the olden days.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was like how like 14 years ago.
Yeah, like that's a
14
long
years.
time. And we weren't recording and filming and taking pictures like we are now.
No, it was this little country town, Haddam, Connecticut. And I went in there with a sledgehammer and I started like tearing down walls. And then we just, I redid it. I didn't have a business plan. I didn't know what I was doing. I just listened to, friends go in there and be like, oh, the wash house should be here and we should have three stations. I didn't know what I was doing. I was 25 years old at the time. I didn't like the location though. Like the location, there wasn't enough people. There wasn't like it was like in a little plaza, but there wasn't many other businesses in there. So I always wanted to be somewhere else. Maybe that somewhere else was California, but yeah, so that's why with the first salon, I had that for 5 years and then I sold that, opened another.
What was it called? Roots, right?
Roots Salon. Yeah, it was cute though. It was cute for me at the time. And I would do balayage and nobody else was balayaging at that time. So I think that's what made me stand out to other people. And I remember people were like driving all over Connecticut. Like people were driving like 40 minutes away just to come get their hair done with me. And I'm like, holy crap, like this is cool. And I remember my rep at the time, she was like, Sarah, you're doing a lot of color because like my color orders would be super big. And I was like, oh, I guess I am. So yeah, just started there. I did not know what I was doing. And I look back at what I was doing and I just can't even believe it because just so much has changed now. I don't even know like any examples, but just even just like how my back room was or like my organization, like just it was a mess. But it was my mess, so it worked,
I love that. And how do you think people found you? Was it like Facebook?
I would post a lot, yeah, on Facebook. I think when I had Roots, it was when Instagram was first starting. So I feel like I kind of got in like when it before it got like super, super saturated and I would just post and post and post. And I think one day I just was like, you know what? I'm gonna start recording. I'm gonna just, yeah, I just started. I just didn't even care and I just posted. But also it was a salon for 25 years. So I think that there was like a lot of walk-ins. It was a small town. So everybody in town saw that there was a new salon. So we had, yeah, that was the back in the day when there was walk-ins. So, and then I had a
Yeah.
lot of the ladies' old clientele and stuff. But I was a type to like go out and see people and be like, "Hey, I want to do your hair. Like, where do you get your hair done? Like, oh, you should come to me." I would just say yes to everybody. Stay late, go in early. I didn't care. I just wanted to be busy.
Sounds toxic.
Yeah, you know how that is. I feel like you were the same, right?
But it's like the say yes mindset does get you places.
I know, yeah, for sure.
It's crazy because like that's how a majority of the successful people you see today, that's how they got to where they are, saying yes. But now like if you're training and mentoring someone and you like try to instill that say yes, it's like you're toxic.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Yeah, and now like someone would be like, "Hey, can I have a haircut?" And I'm like looking at my schedule. I'm like, "Yeah, maybe like next Thursday at 12 o'clock, I can cut your." When I could, like today. If it was 10 years ago, I would do it like just in the next hour. I would say yes to that person. But now I'm okay with doing it tomorrow or doing it next week or even next month,
Yeah, it's like when you're in that sense of urgency mindset, you want to do everything right away.
And I was even like that with because I had employees and like if somebody walked in, I would want that person to get their hair done that day. Like, can you fit them in like somehow? It wasn't like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. That's what like the stylist would say. And but I wanted everything done like right then and there.
Well, because you don't want them to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, But then it's like, where are they going to go? Oh, like we're like, they came to us for a reason, right?
Yeah. I love it. Well, and you had employees at that time. How old were you?
I was 25 when I opened the first salon. Yep. Roxy was my first employee ever.
Love Roxy. And
I think I had a couple assistants at that space. But no, I had a few employees. It was so long ago. It's all a blur. I did have, yeah, no, what am I talking about? Yeah. I had a bunch of employees, not all at the same time. I think like the most I've had was two, but yeah, everything was commission. Which I feel like commission, like I wouldn't do that now. I just don't have like the space in my life to, you know, run a commission-based salon. That's just, you know, I feel like rental's the way to go for me.
Yeah. So, okay. You had so a year and a half out of school, you're opening a salon. And I remember like watching you and be like, how the hell did she open a salon so soon? Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I remember just watching and being like jealous. I'm like, I want to have a salon. Like, I was like, what the hell?
Oh my God. Wow. This comes out now.
Yeah. I always was following you because you were always doing stuff. So I was like, how the hell does she have a salon? And like, I just like, I wanted to open a salon so bad, so bad, so bad, but I never had money. Like I spent money as soon as I got it.
Real talk, if you're not shopping at Marlo Beauty Supply, you are losing money, but don't worry. If you have a cosmetology license, you can sign up at marlobeauty.com and shop at wholesale prices with no minimum order. Marlo Beauty Supply only sells to professionals. This is key because they're one of the only companies that puts salons first. Marlo ships right to your salon, their shipping is so fast, and their website is always stocked with all the beauty essentials that you need. Their customer service team is wonderful, and all of their items have a 30-day return window, no questions asked. Stop overpaying for the essentials and head to marlobeauty.com. As someone with over 15 years of experience in the beauty industry, I always want to help people grow their business. And I always want to help people get to where they want to go without going through the hardships and the struggles that I had to go through. When I was first starting out in the beauty industry, it was so hard to find a mentor because no one shared secrets, nobody told you how they did it, and it was a very different time back then. Today, my DMs are full of questions and people who want support from me, but instead of coaching through DMs, I created my mastermind group called the Network Mastermind. The Network Mastermind is one hub with all of my education and a place where I do bi-weekly coaching calls with all of my students and mentees. If you're opening a salon, starting an education business, trying to build as a stylist, trying to navigate being a salon owner, or anything in between, if I have done it, I want to help you with it. So if you're looking for a mentor at an amazing price and the support of an incredible community, you should really consider joining my mastermind group, the Network Mastermind. Visit www.thenetworkmastermind.com to learn more, and I hope to meet you there.
Like, yeah. That's just how I like am and was. Like, I just spend as soon as I get it. And I never had money to put down. And when I wanted to open a salon, I tried to get grants and loans, and I was just denied and rejected. Okay. For all of it. And it wasn't until I started literally saving every single penny that I had the money to go open a place.
Okay. Yeah. So this is how I opened a salon, and maybe not everybody got this opportunity, but, okay. So my dad passed away when I was 21 and he left me some money. And so like I was saving it for something, and I spent a lot on school. I paid that off, and, it really got me started because I had, I think like $25,000 left. And I spent that on roots. I spent all of it, 100%.
That's how much I had saved for GBH is $25,000.
Wow. That's awesome. And I just was like, you know what? Like, what else am I going to spend it on? Like I remember buying a TV with it and like I had so much anxiety because it was, I don't know, a TV, like whatever. But yeah, I had the 25,000 and I just spent every single penny knocking walls down of roots and creating this new little space for me.
I love it. And how long were you open there?
I was there for 5 years until I lived in New Haven at the end of it. Like the last year I was commuting from New Haven an hour to go to my salon. And I just kind of hated the drive. And I felt like I could get other new younger people into my space if I was in a different location. And I just wanted to be like where it was like popping. So I found a space in New Haven and I just was like, you know what, there's 6 months left of my lease. And I just put it on Facebook that I'm selling my salon Roots. And this girl, she came in and she's just like, okay, yeah, I want it. And I was like, all right, $10,000. And she said, okay, like you got it. And I was like, and you have to finish off my lease. So I just made that transition.
Wow. And what, like, why did you pick $10,000? You're just like, I just want out. And like, it's not really, if you're not selling a client book, employees, the brand, the client list, all that, your salon isn't worth anything.
Exactly. So what your salon is worth is what is, okay, your salon is only worth what it's worth to somebody else and what you can let go of it for. So if you want to let go of it for, you want $100,000 and you're not, you'll get $100,000. You might just have to wait a while, you know? But it wasn't worth that much to me. I was taking the chairs. I didn't take the mirrors or anything, but I took a bunch of stuff. Like I took all the color, the product, the vacuum. Like, I don't know. I just took my stuff. And then, but it was set up to be a salon. She didn't have to go in there and do electric. She didn't have to do plumbing. She kept the name. It was worth it to her. She liked the space, like the build out. She didn't have to do that, was already done. So I just wanted something like I gave to the lady who had Country Gal. I gave her 5,000 for it, even though I went in there. I just like didn't want to hurt her feelings, I guess, because she wanted something for it and she had it for 30 years. So I was like, with my fresh set of eyes and ideas, I think that it's going to do well. So I can like, I don't know. I just wanted the space.
And were you living in Haddam at the time?
I was living in Ivoryton.
Okay. So that's close by.
Yeah. I was kind of like all over the shoreline. I moved. That was like the period of time where I was like moving a lot.
Yeah. And for people like who aren't from Connecticut, she's talking about going from the freaking boondocks to Connecticut's most hopping town. I mean, I think that New Haven is where it's at. A little dangerous now, but New Haven is like pizza capital of the world.
Oh my gosh, the pizza's so good.
If you don't know about Connecticut pizza, it's just better than everywhere and anywhere else. Like, it's just the best.
It's so good.
New Haven is where it is. Like, everyone, everything in New Haven, all the food is good. It's like everyone came off the boat and the Italians didn't want to go further than
they didn't come to California, I'll tell you that.
No, we just wanted to relax and you know, put down roots. But so she went from like, and New Haven's where Yale is, so it's a college town.
There's lots of colleges and yeah, it's just, they built it up and there's like so many more like apartments and everything coming, like high rise buildings. It's, I feel like it just keeps getting better over there.
Yeah. So, okay. So you sold Roots and then you moved over to Sari Paints Creative Space.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You got that right. It was a tongue twister.
I know your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So then my Instagram was doing well. So Sari Paints, I was, you know, going to all the shows and I was connecting with brands and I was growing, I was doing classes and I was like, okay, I want Sari Paints. Cause that was my Instagram handle at the time. I recently changed it. And then I liked the word creative and I liked the word space. I still like both of those words, but, yeah, it's just my little creative space. So opened that. And that was, it used to be a piano shop. So I had to do everything. That was an even bigger, remodel. I think it was like, it started off being 50,000, but then at the end of it, it was like 80,000. And I had saved a lot of money with Roots, like a lot. So I just kind of put everything into it. And like the $10,000 that I got for it, I just put everything into it and then just like made it even better. And I was like, as I went along, it just got better and better. You know how that is when you have a space, it's just like you start slow.
Yeah, totally. Like GBH, we started really small and everything I got was like super like, what's the word? It was like piecemeal together. Like I got the stations from Pier One. Like I got the mirrors from IKEA. Like everything was like Pier One and IKEA. So it wasn't like crazy expensive. It's not like now where like everyone buys everything from Minerva. Like, yeah. It's like now you buy out a salon stuff from Minerva and it's like, you know, it's pretty expensive, but like we were just piecing it all together and it looks so good. Like everything was beautiful. Yeah. But
remember your blow dryer up top? Like that was like the thing.
I know. Well, I wanted to be Robert Cromings. You know, yeah. I just wanted to be like the next Robert Cromings. And when I was building out my salon, I just like, I would go to work all day for 16 hours, then go to the salon or go to Home Depot or whatever. And I was just paying for everything like as I was going. And, you know, I had 25 grand I put into it, which was like the floors, the electric, the plumbing. And then the rest I just paid for as I got. And it took like 6 months to open because I didn't have any money. And then I was renting a chair and paying rent there.
Okay. And I remember you were doing like, you had like a full setup in your house too, while you were in between, right?
No, I went from my house to renting a chair, which because I just was so busy. Like it was insane. Yeah. I was so busy.
And you were just posting. We were both like posting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got into it really early. And then like when I closed GBH, the reason I like your salon isn't worth like what people think, because with GBH, I could have sold it, like kept all the equipment, sold it, but I didn't want another salon there, even though another salon opened there. I went as far as patching up the floors where the sinks were.
Oh, wow.
I did not want another salon down the street. Like I didn't want another place to like try to duplicate what we did.
So you didn't sell it?
No,
you just left.
I had 7 years left on my lease.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I had 7 years left on my lease. I walked away. I had everything in my LLC name, not in my personal name, not a personal guarantee. And I just walked away. I sold all my furniture on Facebook Marketplace. It was pretty traumatizing, but I had already opened the network.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like, I was like,
network.
I was going to have two salons and then I was like selling everything, but it's like, I couldn't sell GBH because I guess I could have sold it for furniture and someone to buy out my lease. I could have, but I was like, I don't want someone else there. And then all of my staff, I gave them all of the clients, go rental, come here. You know what I mean? Like, and there was no revenue to be had in the business.
I didn't try to sell it. You were just like, no, I'm out of here.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. Anyways. I don't know.
I remember that.
I don't know what I would have done differently, honestly. You know, if I knew it was 6 years ago almost. If I knew what I knew now.
I know, right?
It would be, I wouldn't be, because I was very like.
It's going to be your office, right?
Huh?
It was just going to be your office space or something.
Yeah. So it was my office. I had like a gym in there, like, cause I was going to try to ride out my lease, but I didn't want payroll.
7 years. I feel like that it would still be 7 years. Like you would just be ending that lease now. I mean, how long ago was that?
6 years.
Yeah. So wow.
It was like, if I knew what I knew, if I knew then what I knew now, I don't want to say I wouldn't have opened the network. But I would have done a hybrid model.
Uh-huh.
Like I would have just had booth rental as an option.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I just was so against it in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just like, no one's coming in and doing what I did. No one's having the up high in the ceiling. I don't think so.
That and like I didn't want people to I had a very like team atmosphere and I didn't want a renter to come in and screw everything up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you did the team base.
Yes.
Team base. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyways.
talking to you back then and you were like, no, Sarah, just do rental. Like I'm so over the headache.
The team-based model is the most profitable way to run the salon. Like I was at 20% profits in there. Like I was doing really, really well profit-wise, but because you have fixed payroll, you know, and everyone's on board to hit a goal. Like we all had a goal. And if they hit that goal, they got more money. They got bonuses. I did Visa gift cards. They did all kinds of shit. And everyone was on board. Like with commission, I felt like everyone's just worried about their own column. They're not worried about anyone else. They don't want to help anyone else if they're not getting paid. Like it was a very team atmosphere.
Yeah, that's good.
So, and it was great. So I was like terrified of having a renter come in and screw it all up. But today, like I told you before we started the call, I just hired my first employee because we're going to be building a hybrid model. Because I really do think that's the way. Like I have 30 chairs. It's hard to keep 30 chairs full at all times. You know what I mean? So
like the place, I feel like you're like the place to work in Connecticut. Like people,
we are.
Yeah. I heard like, oh no, we lose them. We lost them to the network or I don't know.
We are the place to work. We offer the most.
Yeah.
Like we have the most value for the price.
Do they get a discount on their yoga membership?
They get free yoga.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Free yoga, bar, fitness, everything. But guess how many renters actually use it?
Two.
One.
I was close.
No, well, two if you include the managers.
Okay. That's pretty but cool.
It's like.
I looked at the yoga schedule. You offer a lot of yoga.
Yeah, we offer like 25 classes a week.
That's so good. I love that. I love that you tied it in with your whole, whenever I come to Connecticut, I gotta pop in.
Yeah, you have to come. It's amazing. But yeah, we're the best.
You do say so yourself.
Okay, so you opened Sari Paints Creative Space and you were there.
I remember I went to Burning Man and
and
Jen, my employee at, I wanted to move to California and that was my plan. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sell roots and I'm going to move to California. And then it just didn't like work out for me. And I was like, I'm not moving. And then I got the opportunity to open Roots. And I remember I was trying to sell Roots to
Sari
Jen.
Paints.
To open Sari Paints. I was trying to sell Roots to Jen. And she was so cute. She was like, Sarah, like, I don't think I want to buy it. Like, do you think I could come with you to the new salon? And I was like, oh my gosh, of course. Like, that would be amazing. So she picked me up from the airport when I came home from Burning Man. I think that was after you and I went to that hair show together. And we were like staying in that. It was in Florida. No, it was in Texas.
It was like this. It was one of the BTC shows we went together.
Yeah, it might have been that year. Anyways, she picked me up and we went straight to Roots and we filled up her car and I had one of the contractors meet me and we moved Roots to Sari Paints because it was done. It was done by the time I got back. And then, yeah, we went in there, we painted and did a couple things. Like I had spent 3 months, building out this space and I loved it. Everything was like custom, everything I picked out. Like we went to Lowe's, like picked out all the light fixtures or Anthropology. Yeah, it was awesome. So then it was just Jen and I for a while and we did good. We were like a lot of people followed us. People were still driving from Haddam. We lost a lot of people, but we gained so many new people and like, we're both like doing Instagram. It was a good place to, you know, just take pictures and yeah, we had fun.
Yeah. And how long was that open for?
So I had Roots only for 4 years before I moved here.
And what made you know? You mean Sari Paints?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. My second salon, Sari Paints. I had Sari Paints for 4 years. And then I just was doing a lot of soul searching and I'm like, you know, I've always wanted to move to California. It's been something on my mind for at that point, like 6 years. I have always been trying, but it seemed like very untouchable and I didn't know how to do it. And I had so much stuff. I had a house at that point. I had my whole salon, like just, I had like so much stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is holding me down. Like I don't need stuff. So So I wanted to just kind of like get rid of everything and like have no ties. I started like deleting like Instagram accounts. Like I just need to be free from everything. Cause I'd always had like, I think it was 9 years of owning a salon at that point. I'd always had like a payroll to do. And I was just tired. And I think I was like a little burnt out, you know, people coming and leaving and just trying to have this like brand. And I remember Jen left after like 5 years and I was like really sad. And she went to go rent a chair. And I mean, I don't know why she didn't do it sooner, because I just feel like that's like the way. I was commissioned at Sari Payne's. I had never rented chairs ever. So, and she was like, I had opened it with her and I was sad. I was like, oh man, like I don't want to do it without her. But yeah. And so I got the opportunity to move here and I just did it.
So did you sell Sari Payne's?
Yeah. I sold it to Roxy for $10,000. For $30,000.
And Roxy's still there?
Yeah. It's called Nightbird.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay. Roxy was my first employee and she's also my best friend. And we would like hang out all the time and she never worked at Sari Payne's, but she wanted a salon and she was always like renting chairs and stuff. So, I remember I just was like, oh, I didn't like even wait because I had got the idea to move to California. And then I put it on Instagram that I'm going to sell and I'm moving to California. And then a week later, same thing as with the first salon, a week later, she's like, I want it. And I was like, okay. She's like, well, how much do you want? I was like, I don't know. I'll just like give it to you. I just want it out. So it was worth like the price of freedom. I could have probably gotten a lot more had I waited for the right person, but it was the price of freedom for me to be able to let go of so much and then just go to California.
I just like went on Roxy's page because I haven't seen her in so long.
Yeah, she doesn't post a lot, but yeah, Nightbird is the name of her space.
I love that. Oh my God. So it must feel good to like know your space is in safe hands. Like it's like in good, yeah. I don't know.
And I felt like it gave her a really good opportunity to like have a salon that she just like walks in and like open. It was a brand new salon, like 4 years. That's nothing, you know? So yeah, it was a turnkey operation and I had just gotten like all new chairs, new sinks, all of that. I had, by the end of Sari Payne's, like I had it like super branded and the website was beautiful and like it was the best I felt like it was ever going to be, but I was just like, it's not enough. Like I don't know why, I just have always been called to California. So I love it here.
Amazing. So you moved last year, right? Or 2 years?
No, ago? 3 years.
3 years? Why is time going by so freaking fast?
I don't know. Yeah, it's almost been 3 years.
I knew that. I was okay. Hold on. So you moved there 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That time is flying by. Okay. Moved there 3 years ago and you're just opening. What have you been doing for 3 years?
I know. Okay. Remember we like had dinner before I left and I was like,
at Shell and Bones.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to work at a commission salon. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah, my God. Yeah.
They offered like, they started like 17% commission. And then it went up to like 30. It was just not my, I lasted there 2 weeks. But I was like doing full circle, you know? So I worked at a commission salon, but it got me to my town that I live in. So like, I'm thankful for that opportunity. And I had to pick. I knew I was moving to Southern California. I didn't know where. It landed me here in San Clemente, which I love it here. It's amazing. But I just like the whole commission, it wasn't for me. It's not for me. I can't go. You can't like teach an old dog new tricks, you know? Like, well, you can, but I couldn't go from like owning my salon for almost 10 years to like working for somebody like, oh, I have to be there at 10 o'clock. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and then like, I don't know, they would just like fill my book. And that was the really great thing about the commission is I didn't have to worry about anything. It's like, I just sweep up and then I leave. I didn't even have to post if I didn't want to, but yeah. So commission. Okay. So I worked there for 2 weeks and then I was like, all right, this isn't working. because I was also getting clients like in my DMs, like, oh, can you do extensions? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have this opportunity. My rent is almost $3,000 at my apartment. It's expensive to live here. So I just decided to rent a chair for 5 months. And then I opened a suite and I was there for a year and a half. So the whole thing with owning a salon, like I had always been like, my neck is always like rubbernecking, like businesses and retail spaces. When I see a sign that's for rent, I'm always like looking. I'll still look. I just want to see like, does this place have potential? And I'm like this when I get a new car too. Like if I see a car, I'm like, I need that one. Yep. It's that one. That's how I've been with all the cars I've ever had, but that's how I am with the salon too. I'm just like, yep, I pick it. And so I have always been looking, but I kind of was like thinking, you know, I don't want to own a salon. Like that's not for me. Like that's not the part of life I'm at. I just want to like, but I needed a space to work. So I had been like the places in town. I just don't want like somebody else's vibe. I need like my decor, my music, just my space. And I feel like it's like an extended part of like my home, you know? So yeah, when I found my space, I was renting a chair at the salon next door for just a day. Cause I was like 6 months out after having a baby. Found the space and I was like, yep, this is it. It's small. So it's doable. It's not like a huge space.
You're so good at like curating a space. Like it's gorgeous.
It's really, really cute. So the reason I just said yes to this opportunity was because I don't know if it's like this in California, but they made like a blank space for me. And it was like a brand new blank canvas. It was like, I didn't have to go in there and do like electrical and plumbing and all of that. Like it was already done because it was a salon for so long. And then the owners like renovated because it hadn't been renovated in like 70 years. And then they're like, okay, now we're renting it. So they gave me an awesome opportunity by making this space. And then I just went in there and like we painted, we put the light fixtures in. You know, I picked the mirrors and, you know, just decorated how I wanted it. It's still like in the works. I want to like get a desk and do a bunch of stuff that you have to do to have like a nice little salon, but I can have three chairs in there. So right now it's just me. And I'm like part-time, but it's doable. And I'm kind of like liking that it's just me for now, but I am looking for people to come rent.
And it makes sense because it's small, it's doable. If it's just you, you can swing it.
Yeah, I can swing it because I have bigger services. So I'll take like 1 to 2 clients and it will be a really good day, you know, because they're longer appointments. But it will be a lot better when I have renters. But I decided, I was like, okay, the rent is, I've been looking for 3 years and I've seen rents from like $3,500 to like $7,000 for these retail spaces. And they're not that big. So when I found mine, it was a really good price. And so I just jumped on it.
And you have to, if you see stuff like that, especially out where you're at, like it is a crazy expensive.
Yeah. My rent's $1,850.
Oh, that's amazing.
Like, it's basically free.
It's basically like, free in California.
Yeah, it's small, but like the lighting is amazing. And I was like, you know what, like I can do this because it's like a little bit more than what my suite was. So yeah, I just did it. And it's going to work. I'll be there for 25 years. I think I just needed a space because when I was postpartum, I was doing hair at home. And that's just like not what I want, you know, washing people in my sink. It's not my style.
You have to do what you have to do sometimes though. Yeah. Like I don't see any shame in that. Honestly, sometimes you just have to grind it out.
Yeah. It was just what I had to do in the moment. But now I'm like, the space is like a mile up the street from me. So
I was going to ask how far away it is.
Yeah. That's what I think like one of the luxuries in life is like having like a small commute, like not driving like over an hour to work, you know, mm-hmm. like having your time freedom, slow mornings. It's just, I feel really creative in this space too. Like I feel like I did pink hair the other day and I hadn't done pink hair since being in California. I don't know what it is about the space, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, like it just feels really good to be there.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It looks gorgeous. So, what's the name of it so everyone could go follow?
It's called Solstice Hair.
It's so pretty, you guys.
It's cute, and it's definitely like my favorite yet. I mean, because it's just like what I'm doing right now, and I just feel like as we get older and we grow and we learn, like life, it just gets better. So just like it's kind of minimal. No, it's very minimal, but I feel like it looks, because I have a baby, it looks like Fisher Price like took over my house. So it's just nice. Maybe that's why I feel more creative, because of how minimal I keep it. It's not like super crowded or anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. I bet it's going to be interesting finding the right people that fit that.
And you know what? Like, I've posted two times that I'm looking for people, and I've gotten a couple people that like they like this girl, she lives in Idaho, and she just wants to come and like rent the chair like 1 week, like every quarter. And then this other girl, she's moving here, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so interested. And then my friend, she just had a baby and she wants to come part time. So we'll see. Like, I just want someone like-minded, like who does same, lived in blondes, bronze, extensions, dimensional, all the things that I like to do, because I feel like that will be good for the
It's going to
space.
attract the type of client
Yeah,
that
that
you
we
guys
want.
want. And it's like, when you're in that situation, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you're in that situation, you've gone through so much good, like all good stuff, right? I'm sure you've had ups and downs throughout the process, but you've gone through all of this. You've been a salon owner for so long. You've experienced all types of people, all types of experiences. And now you have like the space that you've, like your whole career is built it up to like the space, right? And you're where you want to be in the town you want to be. You have your time, you have your freedom, you have your baby, you have your family. It's like having this space, you have to be so careful about who you bring in, because it's like you have, like it's like almost like your peace in there. It's like,
Yeah, no, 100%. I love that you said that. And I feel like I'm like, Gina, I made it. Like the town, like I'm looking at the ocean right now. I don't know. I'm so grateful. Michael, my partner, and I, we count our blessings every day. We're just like, and when we argue about dumb stuff, we're like, we have paradise problems. Like, we're healthy, we're happy, we have a beautiful baby, happy. Like, it's like life is good. We live in a beautiful town, and yeah, I got this space. I'm just like, I'm in a good spot.
I love it. I have all these like generic questions, but I feel like just catching up with you is enough. Like, just I'm so glad like to hear you're doing so well. And it was, I feel like your story about how you just went for it and the say yes is enough for this episode. And I think everyone will be just inspired from that.
I love that. Yeah. No, for sure. You just have to say yes. And if an opportunity comes out, it's harder now. There's in the town that I am, there's not a lot of rental spaces for houses. Airbnbs are like taking over. I think you have to jump on opportunities if you get them, and you might not be ready. Like when I said yes to Solstice, I was only 5.5 months postpartum, and I was like, I'm not ready. I'm still nursing. I'm not ready. But I was like, you know what? A space like this, I manifested it. We'll say manifest. I knew there was a space coming. I just didn't know like where or what it was. And I even said that, like, when I left my suite, I was like, I feel like there's a bigger opportunity out there for me. I just don't know what it is yet. So I wasn't ready, but I said yes, and I'm super happy I did.
I love it. I think that's a great lesson to anyone looking to open a salon, is you might not be just ready for it, but
Yeah, but just do it, and then you will be ready, because your life and your focus will start to like shift, and you just show up, and it will work.
just turn your lights on.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy I get to connect with you, and thank you so much for, telling your story to all the listeners. I'm sure they loved it.
Yeah, Gina, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
All right, everyone. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to Salon Ownership Unfiltered. This series has been so fun to record. I've learned so much from all of the amazing guests, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to provide this amazing free resource to all of you. It wouldn't be possible without all of my sponsors, my mastermind group, and Educate with Influence, because those amazing people and businesses support this free education. So please check out all the sponsors. Visit GinaBianca.com/podcast to get all of the information and more resources attached to this episode. I would also love to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you're loving the podcast. All right, that's it. I'll talk to you guys soon and hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you on the next one.